Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
I was going to say, you know, you could always tilt it down a little bit more, you know, if you ever felt like being more than just head and shoulders. There you go. Yeah. Hey, look at that. What's up, man? What's up, Manny?
I'm tired, bro. I'm jet lagged.
I bet. I'm surprised we're here, dude. Not gonna lie. How was the show? How was the weekend?
You know, it was good. I think it was good. It was lots of fun stuff. Lots of friends, obviously, and I think that's really the best part of it all.
Oh yeah,
it's just, and then also Jason and I, the comic source, we realized that with the conclusion of this year, we've been covering conventions together for 10 years now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, conventions with the minimum, I'd say, of about 3 to 4 shows each. Minimum. Nice.
That's awesome. Almost as awesome as our intro. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Daily Cup of Genre here on the Genreverse Podcast Network and YouTube channel. You can find us on all your favorite podcast apps, including Amazon Music now. So that's pretty cool. Subscribe on the YouTube channel if you haven't already for the Daily Cog. We've got shows dedicated to anime, Star Wars, Marvel, and then a couple of other, you know, general everything and trailer reactions. Lots of great content. LRMonline.com is the website for all your entertainment news, needs, opinions, the podcast, written articles with reviews, celebrity interviews, and more. I'm Kyle, that's Manny, and keep talking, man, about the show. What was it like? This is the first LA Con since the
pandemic?
No,
it was the second one.
Oh, okay, second.
Yeah, this is the first one where they didn't require masks.
Okay, so was this, you know, more full, more exciting? How was it compared to the first one back?
It's about the same as the first one back. I think what made the first one back a little bit more special, what it was a ton of people's first show back since the pandemic. So it was a little weary, it was a little like, who knows, but overall it's a good show. I just feel like it might be starting to lose its identity a little bit. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like it feels like one of those, it's starting to feel like one of those fan expo shows more than anything. Mm. But I will say that they did add an entire additional hall for anime and gaming. Mm. Which was nice. They had a ton of guests on that side too. Long lines for signings. Don't know who the voice actors for any of those things were.
I probably know a few.
You probably know all of them.
No, because just a short side on that. There's only a few voice actors that I even know by name. Oh. And that's just like the sheer number of shows that I've seen it pop in on. We're trying to avoid that trap we're in here in the West, where we're, you know, involved in producers and writers and actors is, you know, on and off camera lives that affect our opinions and enjoyment. We're trying to avoid that anime, but anyways.
Yeah, but I think for me the biggest highlight was Elijah Wood and Sean Austin had a panel.
Oh yeah, I saw that video.
And that was a whole lot of fun, because obviously I'm a big Lord of the Rings fan, so I was front and center for that. I'll have coverage for that as well. LeVar Burton had a spotlight panel also, which was very strange to see one of my, you know, childhood icons on stage. Mm-hmm. Just kind of talking about, you know, of course, like things like reading and whatever and things that he's involved with, and then speaking of childhood, also Steve Burns had a spotlight panel, Obviously, that's Steve from Blue's Clues, if you don't know. And that was really cool, just because of he's just the way you'd imagine him, especially after that video he put at the end of the pandemic. It was a really nice moment. You just wanted to kind of like sit on the ground and cross your legs and drink your Capri Sun.
So I guess we kind of missed out. Like, neither of our siblings, Christine or I's siblings, were young enough for Blue's Clues. We definitely weren't. And then our son was, after it was its thing, and he never really got into toddler type baby shows and stuff like that, thankfully.
Because
now he won't watch Gumball or Teen Titans Go because that's what he watched as a toddler and he thinks those are baby cartoons.
Oh. That's funny.
Damn it. Backfire. Because Christine and I were sat there thinking, like, dude, you have no idea. This show is going to be even funnier when you're older. Like,
and I was like, yeah, no, it's just boring now, actually.
Backfire. Should have let him have the bubble guppies. Anyways. there was a big, something that we had heard, but now is confirmed, Blue Beetle, man. I know you're pretty excited to hear that's getting a, theatrical only now for officials.
Yeah. Like that's really exciting. And it's exciting because, Batgirl got canceled completely. Mm-hmm. Sold out. Like, we're not even selling it to somebody else. It's gone. And the fact that whatever they had already done, if they're not already done shooting Blue Beetle, was good enough that they didn't just say, yeah, we'll put it on HBO. They said, we're putting this in theaters.
Yep.
So that's pretty exciting.
And it's got a cool new poster up for it on the screen if you're watching us on YouTube. It's got a Journey vibe to it, of course. For those of you that don't know the 70s, 80s band, I believe they started in the 70s. Journey, big in the 80s. Don't Stop Believing in Lights Go Down in the City or something like that. Anyway, Lights, that's just the title of it. They always had like scarab beetles and stuff on their cover art, and it was always very like 80s chic, you know, so shiny, bright, metallic looking. So that's like the first thing that pops my anyway. So you're tired, I'm something else.
Beard.
Yeah, well, besides that.
So
yeah, I think it's cool, man.
So what's really cool about it, which means then 2023 we're gonna get 4 DC projects in theaters. That's really
cool. Allegedly.
Yeah, I guess so. I think at this point they can't really afford not to put things out. So, so we're gonna start with Shazam, then we'll go over to The Flash, Blue Beetle, and then we'll wrap things up with Aquaman.
Yeah,
I'm like, good year. We'll also have Ant-Man and the Wasp, which is gonna be good. We're gonna have Indy. We're gonna have
The Marvels and Guardians. All right, I'm gonna have to reconnect Zoom, so let me pause our recording. Yeah, no idea what happened, but we're back, we're good. What were we saying?
We're just talking about how there's a pretty good slate of movies coming out next year.
Oh yeah, we were talking about the Marvel ones and
so here's here's something
it'd be
that
good for box office.
Did you know the Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin? Through the words and experiences of investment professionals, you'll discover who was their best mentor, what's a mistake they made that changed their approach, and how do they find their next great idea? Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
So here's something that I heard during, I mean, it's an interview that was a couple of weeks ago that I never really happened to listen to it, but it's kind of relevant to all the movies that we talked about. Mm-hmm. Director Quentin Tarantino was talking. They asked him about how he really felt about Marvel movies and commented on the Scorsese comments and stuff like that. And basically he said that Scorsese's old and that's just, you know, it's just not his thing. And then he also talked about how if this was in the 80s, he'd be all about Marvel movies because he loved comic books at one point and you know that it's just and then it's also that it's just not his cup of tea as far as like directing a movie because he likes practical effects. He hates doing after fixing things in after
the post, yeah.
The post, thank you. If he has to, it needs to be very minimal. But he likes films to be mostly done day of shoot, and I think that's one thing I really love about his movies too. The kind of the grit of them, there. I fantastic. Hateful Eight is so good.
Yeah, it really is.
And I mean, so
long,
many more
but good.
Yeah. And something that he said that really got my attention was, he was talking about a boy that he had met that talked about how when that kid was like 3 or 4 or 5, like 5 maybe, he watched Iron Man. And you fast forward it now all the way to where we are now.
And that kid's an adult.
That kid's an adult. But that kid also grew up with having franchise. Mm-hmm. And so to that kid and to thousands and thousands of other people, that's what cinema is.
Yeah.
Because that's what they were conditioned to believe cinema is.
Yeah.
So when you try to tell them to give them something original, it doesn't resonate because that's not what they think it is.
I've been saying for a long time that our entertainment has been, for lack of a better phrase, dumbed down. And that's not saying people are dumb for liking this stuff. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for this stuff. We still like some of this stuff. If it's well written, we really like it. Anyways, but it is. And I've even mentioned how, you know, the whole streaming and budget thing, you're going to, you know, people already appealing to the lowest common denominator. If people keep going, well, if you ignore this, or well, if you take it as a independent thing, it's good. And I'll like it for that. The more people are willing to straight up settle, the worse entertainment's going to get. We always ask, you know, where is this generation's Goonies or Ghostbusters? Where's
Stranger
this generation's? That's a series. We're talking about an epic.
I know, but like that's Stranger Things. Like that.
But is that really for the kids of this day,
or
is that more for like teenagers and young adults that older adults like as well? Like, is it really a thing for the 9 and 10 year olds when we were watching Ghostbusters
I'm telling you because that's my daughter's Goonies.
Okay, cool. Lucas, I wish you would get into something like that. But where's their Home Alone, you know, era Christmas movie? You know, the closest thing I can think of is Elf, and that's like the very tail end of millennials. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not even Gen Z. And I look at it as almost sad until you realize, like you said, it's this franchise stuff. Mm-hmm. And it is big and epic. Endgame was a once in a lifetime event. I don't think there's anything I can ever experience in a movie theater that will feel like that did. It won't. It's impossible. Something built for 11 years that I was invested in. The majority of it was well written, well executed. You had spent almost a third of your life watching this as a grown ass adult. And there's nothing I can think of that will pay off for it. Nothing. And that's okay. And I get that that's great. But it's all from one pot, and it is reliant on so much else. And like I said, there's these individual movies throughout time that people mention. Some may have come from franchises, but usually sequels and stuff get ignored in the past. Most of them are just individual movies, and they're lauded for being amazing and timeless, where any generation can watch it and enjoy it. Back to the Future is about the closest thing to a perfect movie I can think of that just stands the test of time. I want more of that, you know? I want my son to have some passion for something besides this super reliant on each other franchises. Not that that is not good, but something else, something additional, mm-hmm. something more personal. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
No, yeah. That's kind of the point, because even within the franchises, you have things like Andor that have fantastic stories, but mm-hmm. they decided to kind of do their own thing, and it's kind of frowned upon because it's quote unquote boring, or it's quote unquote not. Missing, you know, supposedly nostalgia and things like that. And
I'm telling you, season two is going to be chock full of Rebels.
It's going to be very stuff. Interesting to see how that second season would play out, because we'll see.
I can hear people, but Rebels would be around in the years leading up to the Death Star. Yes, I get that, but you're deadening what Andor set itself up to be. If you start filling it like Saw, that makes sense. That's connected to Rogue One more than it is Clone Wars or Rebels for Andor. Mm-hmm. It's more of a connection to Rogue One than it is the other. And I get that it's a 7 degrees to bacon or whatever type thing to get to Clone Wars for it. But if you all of a sudden throw in something with Ezra, throw in something with Ahsoka or Hera, you start losing the Andor, you know, and mm-hmm. we're here for Andor, Mothma, and Luthen.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm hoping that there's another diamond in the rough out there. I really am. I'm hoping Guardians is it, or Ant-Man, because I adore those two films, the Ant-Man movies. I think he's hilarious in Civil War. I like his stuff in Endgame. I'm down for that. Star Wars, on the other hand, man, I don't know what to do about you.
That's why I'm just glad I'm a Trekkie, because we're relying on TV shows, which we're getting plenty of in every capacity, and I feel like they're being done. It's diverse enough where we have one show for everything.
Yeah,
like you want nostalgia, go to Picard and be bored. You want something kind of new and fresh and kind of modern, go ahead and Discovery. You want something classic, Strange New World. You got a kid you're trying to get into it,
Prodigy.
You want something little grungier,
Lower Decks.
You got it, man.
You sound like you belong on Break Geek Radio every now and then. They love Star Trek. I'm not a Trekkie, so I pick up all that stuff from producing Breaking Geek Radio. Check their show out here on the Genreverse Network.
IDW is doing comic books now too, where they're taking these characters from the different franchises, putting them together, and they're going to be working on a shared universe where these characters interact or like now work together on different ships. And it's going to lead to a big event. And I'm like, ugh, this is so good. And then somewhere down the line, not important, they'll figure out the movie. But Star Trek was never about movies. Yes, there are some good movies, but it's always been about their, you know, their impact on TV. And also just being inclusive for so many years without having to say that they were inclusive. You know, it wasn't that wasn't their goal. It was just something that, because they're traveling in the universe, it just had to happen. You know, so kudos to them, and suck it, Star Wars fans. Other thing I wanted to talk about, because it's something that you would enjoy. I pulled up the numbers for this weekend for the box office.
Yes, box office Monday number stuff. Love it. What's up?
Of course, Black Panther still in first by something over 17 million, 17.5. The second movie, that Violent Night. I would say right now it'd be a decent 13.3 million. But why that's relevant is something that caught my eye over the weekend is Jason Blum. If you don't know who he is, look him up, because
his tweet. Oh my God, I love it. I shared it in Discord.
He said, "Gotta get out to those movie theaters, folks. We don't want to be streamed to death."
Yes, yes, preach, Brother Blum.
And I'm so glad somebody said it.
Oh my goodness, here, I finally got it out of Discord. There we go. Got to get out of those movie theaters, folks. Don't want to be streamed to death.
And you know,
amen.
And so what I did is just went to go look at the comments, and I can't lie, there's some very valid comments there. Somebody had even posted a picture of the total that they spent on movie theaters for three or four people. Other people said, I just can't do it because I hate sitting through 30 minutes of trailers, which, I'm going to be honest, that's why, like he said, my girlfriend and I, we don't walk into the theater until we're maybe 10 minutes late.
Yeah.
Because
assigned seats, you don't need to be in your seats.
Yeah, we do not want to be barraged with trailers either, because we've watched them. But we go to the theater so much that we could recite trailers, and we could recite Regal ads. Like if they're like, oh, like, can somebody do the ad because it's not working today? It's like, all right, I could do it. So yeah, you gotta get out there. Go streaming.
They're gonna take you guys kicking and screaming. That's what's gonna happen. Your movies, we talked about Blue Beetle and others, day and date's gone. The 45-day window is gone. You're gonna see them at least trying to push back to the 90-day before you hit digital, and then, you know, another 2 weeks for home video, and physical media. You're going to get less budgets on the things that do go up. You're going to get less of the stuff on streaming, because it just doesn't earn the money. And if you still don't go to theaters, if you still insist on just the streaming stuff, you're going to watch some severe reduction in budgets and quantity, because it doesn't pay enough, folks. And I don't want to hear anything about cut executive pay, because cutting all of those top offices, anyone with the name, with a word executive or chief in their name, cut their pay by 75%, you might get a few hundred million dollars. Disney lost over $1.5 billion on their streaming services so far. So yeah, don't give me that cut executive pay. There's not enough there. There's not enough there.
Ain't no executive ever taking no damn cuts, man.
And that's the other thing too. You know, what are you gonna do? You pass a law, you know, capping wages. I know people think that's a fun thing. Here we go, hot take time. I know people think that's a great idea, but it's the same thing in the grand scheme of government spending, cutting to capping profits. Any of that, you're not paying for projected spending increases.
Well, the other thing that I find kind of worrisome is that I think you're going to end up losing an entire industry of like practical effects and shooting on scenes and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and
it's too expensive.
All you're going to get is
the volume. The volume. Works.
And it works. It looks good, but it's not the same, you know?
Yeah. Compare Andor to Kenobi. Compare Andor to The Mandalorian. There's lots of great sets in Mando, don't get me wrong. But compared to what, like, some of the textured feel of the the locations they went to that weren't Tatooine.
I'm with you on that. So, yeah, it's interesting that now we're starting to see, like, people in the industry also shouting the same thing we've been shouting. Like, hey, you should probably go to theaters. You want to know what is funny? We talked about the show. You know what some of the rumblings I've heard? Nobody cares about Avatar.
Oh, jeez. did the trailer come on to anything you saw recently?
No, I was speaking with other people from other sites and things like that, and it just kind of came up as a broader topic at one point, and it was like, it's gonna be real interesting to see how it does in theaters, because they expect, James Cameron thinks that this is gonna be bigger than the Endgame.
It's next weekend. I mean, I think I said 200 and you had, I mean, go back, see if you can find it again.
I think mine was way lower than that. But.
Yeah, yours is like 119.
Yeah, okay. That sounds about right.
Do you want to stay still?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do.
We'll talk on Thursday.
Do you think that this is part of the reason why there's been a shift in leadership at Disney? Because Strange World, it failed miserably.
Mm-hmm.
Lightyear failed miserably.
Yep.
And I feel like maybe investors also feel like Disney lost out on like Prey for Hulu and a couple of other, maybe Hellraiser, even that one.
I would agree.
So because they're so streaming focused, that Hocus Pocus 2, I still firmly believe should have been released in theaters. That was going to do very well in theaters. Was it going to like break box offices? Absolutely not. But based on the fandom that film has, it was going to do amazing. But they wanted streaming.
That's the investment they had to try to. They had promised it would break even by 2024.
But now it seems like they're
backing off.
Hurting? No, they're hurting other areas.
Well, yeah. Well, that's because it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, they're hurting other areas, like where they're losing money now because they're so streaming focused, and now they had to kind of go back to the well.
Yep, it's all one giant pot, guys. I mean, it's just like comic books. Okay, in order to get all of the little niche books, the big books have got to sell.
The big books.
That float the little books and the niche stuff, be it horror books appealing to specific minorities, whatever. Okay, they don't sustain themselves. It's they just don't. But that's good. That's fine if you have the big books making the numbers necessary, that people that those books do speak to, that do love those books and characters, can continue to get them, and creators can continue to create.
Mm-hmm.
TV and movie is the exact same thing, and movie right now is really, really hurting, and it's hurting TV as well in a way, because now they're trying to share their money with these streaming only movies. It's all connected, guys. It's all very, very connected. And the only way there's enough money to make the content that you and I want is to be willing to pay for the content. If you're not willing to pay for it, we're not going to get it. Simple as that.
Yeah, and it's just interesting to see how, and now, like, people who betted so heavily on streaming are having to back off.
Yeah.
And it's just, and it's funny to, and it's not funny to see, it's actually kind of tragic, because anyone and everyone should have seen this coming.
It's simple math.
Yeah.
Just math. And then it's taking into account password sharing, which is really hard to get around, even when they try, and piracy. When you put a high def video on the internet the same day that it hits theaters, or just putting it, you know, very shortly after theaters, it's going to be immediately high quality pirated. That's not good for business.
You know who's doing streaming right? I would say in a pretty balanced way. I'd say Paramount Plus has a pretty good grip.
Yeah,
on the way they do things.
They seem to be doing quite well.
They've taken all their Star Trek stuff and put it there. So if you're a Star Trek fan, you have to have it, yeah. Which is fine. And then a lot of times they tease their movies that they're gonna go straight to Paramount, and they go, just kidding, we're actually gonna put them in theaters for a while, and they've done well. Like, I think their choices of sometimes changing their strategy even late in the game. Smile is a perfect example how it did well. It did well early on in screenings. So very late, they decided, boom, we're going to change it to we're going to do a theatrical run. And that's that. And did people get mad? No, they actually just went to the theaters and watched the movie, and became one of the most successful horror movies of the year.
Yeah,
on a you know, not so crazy budget. So it's interesting. And then also Prime, they got the damn shipping.
Yeah,
they hold you there.
Keeps that.
But now you got a ton of good content that you're looking forward to. You have The Boys. Now you have Lord of the Rings. You have Wheel of Time.
Whoa! Lord of the Rings started out okay. You know, I wouldn't call it great at the end. We'll see how Rings of Power season 2 goes.
That's your opinion. And you said that movies also that come out there, they might have a deal with DC coming soon.
Yeah.
But they also have infinite money, so
essentially.
Basically. Yeah. So but it comes to show. And then I feel like Netflix, like, it always finds a way to kind of stay there. And like, unbothered. Like, I know they have their ups and downs, but I mean,
and their price increases.
It seems like, yeah, but it's so grandfathered in that I don't see anyone getting rid of it. And then you have, boom, you have a Stranger Things. And then boom, you have a You. And then you have whatever, and the next show. And then every now and then they'll drop a
sleeper hit like the Dahmer thing, and Wednesday seems pretty popular. So
Wednesday is super popular. And it's their most streamed thing, even over Stranger Things. You have to remember, and this is no knock to it, because I had fun with it. I didn't think it was the greatest thing ever, but I did have fun with it. I liked it enough to where I'd enjoy a sequel. But it did come out during a holiday weekend. Everyone was home, which comes to a great strategy. Far as releasing it, not releasing releasing Bros during a horror season was a horrible strategy. So compare that to like releasing a Wednesday on a Thanksgiving weekend when all the kids are home. Amazing strategy.
Smart.
Yeah.
Smart. Anyways, Annie and I got a bit of a late start. We also had the little hiccup there in the middle, so we'll go ahead and put a pin in it right now, guys. Thanks for listening. Be sure you're subscribed on the YouTube channel. Like I mentioned, all the great content, anime, Star Wars, Marvel, more. All of our reviews and podcasts go up wherever you get your podcast from. Spotify, Apple, we're on Amazon now. All the cool kids in the podcast world. And of course, LRMonline.com every day for all entertainment news, needs, opinions, celebrity interviews, written reviews, and more. Manny. We on for tomorrow?
Sure, why not?
All right, guys. We'll see you then. Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.